Bring peace and victory to Ukraine. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Alrighty, so I'm going to talk to the viewers for a second here and just say hi and introduce you, and then we'll get started. Sound good?
Yeah.
Awesome. So, hello everyone. My name is David Sneed. I'm a missionary in Lviv, Ukraine, and this is my friend Sasha over in Eastern Ukraine. Hey, Sasha, how you doing?
Hi, David. I'm fine.
Good to hear. So if you could tell us all about yourself, your ministry, your work, what do you do?
Well, I'm from Kyiv, Ukraine, from Calvary Chapel, Kyiv, and I'm a missionary at the east of Ukraine, at the front line. I have moved 5 years ago from Kyiv, first to Stanitsa Luhanska. We had Christian Volunteer Center there, which now is a church with a pastor and I don't know how many people already. And a year ago, I have moved to Avdiivka, that is Donetska Oblast, I mean Donetska area. And in Avdiivka, I also help with church. And throughout all these years, I've been helping as a volunteer, not hired, but volunteer chaplain with the Ukrainian Army Forces. And basically my work depends on the door that God opens, and I meet different soldiers at different locations, and I minister to their needs, psychological, spiritual, emotional, sometimes financial, ministering to their families. I talk with them on phone a lot and we discuss different things. Often I go visit them in the hospital when they have, when they're wounded or they have some issues with health. And God gave me a car. So with the car, I drive all kinds of places and help soldiers also sometimes to move around, to take them to post office or to train station. Often, almost every other day, when the guys have lineup, they ask me to share the commander some Bible verse, short prayer, and some words of encouragement. And a special type of ministry is to women who are in Ukrainian army, because for women, because of many different issues, it is quite difficult to be in an army at the war zone, because the war is active. I just lost a month ago two of my friends, and four of them were wounded very badly, and two have died. And so, yeah, the war is going on.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's something that a lot of people forget. I, you know, talking to my friends over the phone or over the internet, you know, recently, and especially with COVID-19, but even before that, like last month, you know, I said, hey, please pray, we have shelling or something like that. And people ask me, wait, I thought there were like peace talks in France or something. I thought that was all over. Like, what happened, you know? And so what can you tell us about, like, if it's completely news to somebody that there's a war still going on, what could you say about that to a viewer here?
Well, I try not to get into political issues, because the bottom line that I know is Russia is an unpredictable country with unpredictable government, and there is just quite a bit of evil that's going on. And so Russia just supplies its troops here, and it's hard to fight against Russia because it has a very strong army, very well supplied, and they just do what they're told to do, have no morals or anything. But my motto, basically why I'm here and many other chaplains, as I said, the war goes on. There is shooting, there are snipers, very many snipers. About a month ago, there was another man, I didn't really know him, but sniper shot under the helmet.
Oh, gosh.
And it was a good shot, because Russian snipers are good, I have to admit that. And so It was difficult because, you know, you have helmet, you have everything, but that bullet just gets right under it into person's brain, and the man died right there in about 2 minutes. And so we're here to support our troops, support their families, to tell them that our country appreciates them, that our churches pray for them. Honestly, I'm here because I know that many of them can still die, and I want them to hear gospel before they die. They die if it happens. Of course, we pray that they would have long life till at least 99 years old, and we hope and pray that nothing will happen to them. But still, there are different conflicts just among soldiers because they're people. And their families so sometimes have too much fear, and they ask their guys, you know, why you have to be there? Why can't be somebody else? Why don't you come back home? So sometimes there is a pressure. And so subordination, not very easy, because some things are hard to do, some routines. And so, you know, everybody have their tempers and characters and all kinds of things, sometimes selfishness. Bible says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So Amen. That is one of the that I share a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a hard one, I'm sure. I remember, I think it was a year ago, just for anybody that's watching, it's what, the fifth? How many years has it been? Since the start of the war.
Seven years. It started.
Yeah, I'm even losing track. Seven. But, you know, so I think it was about a year ago, you and I were talking, and I think it was you, said something like, you know, we want to protect our country, we want to protect the territory, or take back the territory that's been taken, and all that kind of stuff. But there's a temptation to start hating the people on the other side, and to make that kind of, this kind of all-consuming life destroying thing, if that makes sense. I don't remember the exact context of the conversation, but how have you been able to speak to that? Does that make sense, the question?
Well, you know, in military, even during the war, you have to have some sense of humor. Otherwise, yes. You go crazy.
Oh, yes.
And so when we talk sometimes with the guys, they just reply simply and say, these people, they have weapons, guns, artillery, all kinds of things. They're ready and kill us. We don't really hate them. We almost do it with love. And so that's what they say. Okay.
Yeah.
So they just say we have to stop them, really. You know, it's a matter of territories, it's a matter of people, it's a matter for those taken captive. Even, of course, local people, peaceful locals, they also have suffered. This teenager in Stanitsa, Luhansk, he is 12. In time, they came out in the evening, and they were putting leftovers of their neighbor in a plastic bag. Wow. The hand, the leg, the head. And so they, with her mom, they were putting the neighbor together in a plastic bag, you know. And I've talked to some teenagers who have panic attacks when they come into the kitchen just because their first bombing was
I think we might be losing you with a connection. Give me a second.
They were in the kitchen, and so panic attack.
Let's see.
I can hear you.
Okay. I think we're back.
Yeah. And so some kids, they have stumbled in their speech because of what they have gone through. And so the war is terrible. So our soldiers protect our freedom. You know, they protect the democracy because our country does want to have freedom and does want to have democracy, you know. And so these are the principles guys are fighting for. And I would say that Russian Orthodox Church and Russian principles, it's more of that religion. And our guys, they do practice their faith. Of course, not all of them, but a lot of them, they say that they either consider God, they consider Savior, they consider Christian way of life, because they also joke that at the front line, there are no atheists, you know, because it's bombing and everything, they say you're laying there and you're praying that God would save you, because there's no really salvation from all those mines that are coming down.
Is there anything that that churches, either in Ukraine or around the world, like, okay, when we think about this war is a huge problem, right? So are there ways that churches can directly affect victory, if that makes sense? Like steps that they can make, what can they do to hurry victory? Does that make sense? Like, I'm having trouble finding my words.
Yes, I think so. It would sound maybe very, I don't know what's the word, but just whatever Holy Spirit leads you to do. First of all, we need lots of prayers. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, because I live at the front line and I see my friends dying, sometimes I get really angry. And sometimes I feel like nobody really prays for us. Sometimes I get really frustrated. And
we're praying. You know,
I know. But what I'm saying is that it has to be, I don't know what. I know it's not a matter of praying long hours, but I think it's constantly and with faith and with expectation that God will do something. And second, really to send people, because there are churches here that have no pastors. In Avdiivka, there are four churches, only one of them has a pastor. And so people are extremely exhausted, very, very tired, sometimes also burned out, frustrated, and all kinds of things. Just read some things on internet, some letters that say, for example, five things missionaries will never tell you about missions. Mm-hmm. You know, because, for example, I kind of lost some friends in Kyiv, not because something bad, but because we don't talk much, because we don't do things together. Mm-hmm. We don't have common memories as much anymore. We don't have common pictures to look at and many things like that. And here, in 5 years, you don't make that many friends, only few. And so there's much loneliness. And because of that, we need people to call us and to write to us and to pray for us and to send little SMS messages, whatever, messengers, sometimes send little package with cards or money or all kinds of things. And so prayer, people, fellowship. And also, some soldier told me this one thing that he says, it would be nice if our country would be such country that we would want to protect. You see, it's important for our soldiers to know that back home, there are people who also fight. They fight being irrelevant. They fight when somebody like doesn't care, you know. They fight when somebody throws trash on the ground or, I don't know, doesn't do their job well and indifferent or something like that. So as soldiers fight, it's important for churches to be active in their neighborhoods, be active in communities, helping families. Because, for example, this one soldier, for example, will come back home And he will say, you know, there was this really nice chaplain. She was praying for us. She was telling us about God. And she was bringing us cookies all the time. And, you know, he would say, maybe there is God. And so his wife or his mother or his mother-in-law will say, you're strange enough because you were the war. Now you're turning to some religion. You're becoming Baptist or Pentecostal or something. You're not that Orthodox anymore as we used to know, because you would drink and then you would pray and you would drink some more and then go to bed. But your life is changing. So what's going on? So it would be good if churches would find wives and mothers of soldiers and do special ministry for them, have special fellowship for them, find little special support for them. That would be awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a note of that. That's something we need to do more of for sure, is reach out to veterans' families. And
of course, when you pray, there are two main things. You know, you pray for salvation for the guys and for the girls here, salvation of their souls, and you pray for salvation of their lives so that they would be alive, they wouldn't be hurt. You know, you pray for their machines, that their machines work, the technical issues. Pray for wisdom for commanders, because commanders, they have huge responsibility, and so they have to make decisions. And very, I think
that's been the main thing that we've prayed for, is particularly like you know, the officers, the leadership, not just like the generals, but, you know, even mid-level officers, is one of the things we've been praying for, is that they would have, you know, like wisdom and winning strategy and that kind of thing. So we'll keep praying for that.
Yeah. And for big commanders, we still need to pray against corruption. Amen. You know, sometimes I just pray that God's fear would totally take over their hearts and their minds. And when they take decisions, or when they know some secret information, that they would take good care of those secrets, and they would, you know, do their best with the budget, and that they would be strong enough to fight the corruption.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How has the epidemic affected you, or the army, or the war in general? Does that make sense?
Well, they have very strict rules about leaving the places where they are, where they're located, and basically not leaving those places and not having anybody coming in. They're very closed, and so it is very good. And most of them are well supplied with face masks and sanitizers. Mm-hmm. And with some of them, they're not well supplied. And so we've been finding some ways to supply them. Mm-hmm. And it's been good. They're very thankful and grateful. And they try to also minister to their families, because I explained to the soldiers that their families are a little bit lost, that some of them are depressed because they're maybe not ready to fight quarantine back at home. And for example, some of them, they're also feeling secure because, for example, a couple of months people will not get their salaries, and so financially it will be hard. But of course, our soldiers, praise God, they have all the salaries they're supposed to have. There's no cutting down or anything.
Oh, praise
and
the Lord.
So I That's say, good. You know, yeah, may God give you wisdom. You may help some of your relatives, even, you know, your mother-in-law that you didn't really like. But maybe this time you will send her a couple thousand hryvnias just to encourage her to get her medicine, or to get her apples that she likes, or extra toilet paper, because, you know, everybody needs extra toilet paper.
Oh, yeah, everybody needs toilet paper.
But it seems like with our army, things are going well. Everybody are taken care of. Of course,
praise the Lord.
I wouldn't know about the tests, you know, for coronavirus, like if anybody gets sick, how many tests are there, how well there are supplies. I'm just hoping and praying that they will not need all that.
Yeah. Mm, I get you. Do you have any plans for Good Friday, Easter, like with the soldiers? Are you going to do anything special for them?
Yes, of course. I asked some of my friends to make some cookies for us and to send us some small special gifts from our churches in Kyiv, Priluki, and some other places. And it will be nice to get something like that from home. I have little cards for them. I have little crosses that they like to wear. I will be traveling, not much, but I will be traveling. I think altogether so far, I am planning on seeing a little over 200 soldiers at three different locations. Two in Donetsk area, one in Luhansk area. And so, a little over 200. I'll be praying. I'll share Easter story. And sometimes what I do also is, I forget how you call it in English, but I have like questions for them and I have prizes. And like in Sunday school, questions about Easter and Christ's resurrection, and they answer those questions and they get their little prizes, little candy or something, and they're extremely, extremely excited about those. And well, so that's awesome. What we do a lot as well. Yeah, we have to have fun. We cannot go without having fun, definitely. God is fun. And so when you really just simply believe, it's all kinds of fun. It really is. So.
And I believe, like, not just God is fun, but I believe God has a sense of humor. Like, I think it was Stas Brzezinski. He and I were talking, and we talked about the recent movie that he was in, Nashi Kotake, which in English means our cats, but it's like our little cats. And it's what volunteers call soldiers, right? So it's like their nickname for soldiers. It's like, oh, these are the kittens that we take care of, right? So there's this movie, and at the end of the movie, there's a chaplain that gets really angry because the soldiers are like, what's the right way to describe it? They're losing heart. And he's like, come on, guys, you guys are like defending your homeland and everything. And it turned into this really funny moment for a lot of people. But some people were disappointed that the chaplain acted like that. I'm like, no, God has a sense of humor, and I think he was okay with that moment and that film in general as well. So we laughed so much with that film, you know.
Yes, me too. I love the movie. I think you heard me. In English, it's called Little Kittens.
The connection is coming in and out, so sorry about that.
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. I am at the front line, so.
Yeah.
It's not unusual.
Praise the Lord that we have a connection at all, actually, you know.
Exactly. So. Yeah, the wind is blowing right away. And so we have internet.
Yeah. So is it okay if I put a link, or like, how can people get a hold of you and contact you if they want to support you or support what you're doing for Easter or et cetera?
Yes, there is a link. I have a bank account in United States, or my friend and I, we have. And so I think, when you will place video, wherever you will place it, in comments or somewhere, you can do that. And my contact information in Facebook, Messenger, things like that.
Excellent. Good deal. I will do that. That'll be in the description below, just for anybody who's watching. Our family tries to support Sasha as much as we can, and we try to get other churches to do that too. So We really want to encourage everybody who's watching to, you know, to support Sasha, to support the troops that she's supporting, if that makes sense. This, when you support her, you're supporting them. And so, you know, we believe this ministry is very important. So how can we pray for you, Sasha, as we're closing up here?
Well, for me to be guided by the Lord as much as possible, and also to have wisdom. I do have small health issues, like, for example, high blood pressure, and I forget, low hemoglobin, low iron in blood, and a few other things. But I'm fighting them, and I'm trying to take good care of myself. Definitely pray for safety. I will not go into different situations that have been happening where I've been. And so for safety, yeah, that's important. And also as I drive, because some people, they drive a little bit crazy here. And yeah, and do pray for supplies, because it's important also as we minister to teenagers here and older ladies. Very often they need medicine, they need school supplies for teenagers, they need maybe some repairs still in their houses. There is one church here that I also help at the front line, and they have no bathroom basically. There is a little hole in the ground outside of the church, and it will cost maybe, I don't know, $500 or less to do bathroom there, just more. And so I need sometimes to repair my
car.
Sometimes I need to put it.
We're back.
Yeah, so as I said, to take care of my car, and yeah, that's about it.
Okay. Can I pray for you now?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Sure. Lord God, thank you so much for Sasha and for her ministry and for all that you're doing through her. Thank you for all the young men and women that and the older ones that are defending our freedom here, Lord. I pray that you protect them, God, and bring us peace and victory. I pray for guidance for Sasha, for wisdom. I pray that you would protect her health with her, you know, these little things that are affecting her, but also give her safety, Lord, as far as her health. With there is a war there, and there's a very real danger. I pray also for, as she's on the roads, that you would protect her and her car. Even if she steps away from it, that she wouldn't have to worry about, I don't know, it getting scratched or hit while she's off doing something else. Please give them the supplies that they need. I pray that maybe this video would be watched by people that would want to support her, that would want to support them. Pray for new missionaries, that they would come and serve there near the front, and that they would start new churches or reopen old ones or continue to serve in old ones. And then also I pray for finances, for car repairs, for building that toilet, and for anything else she needs or they need over there. Lord, please bring these things, and it's by your grace and in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Just a reminder for anybody who's watching, check out the links below to contact Sasha, to send them support, and to be a part of this ministry. So thank you, Sasha, for all that you're doing. We love you. Don't forget that we are praying for you, okay? God bless.
Thank you. Thank you. I love you too. God bless you too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.